Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, back. J&J, 99.9 FM, ESPN, Tuesday, November 11th edition of the show. Happy Veterans Day. Want to make sure we shout out all the veterans who help protect our national security and our freedoms every single day. I saw the, I don't know exactly, I guess it, maybe it was the B-52 bombers when I was in D.C. for July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is I would hate to be on the receiving end of one of those. So I hope that that is never, I don't know why it would ever be the case, but we need all nations to join us in our war on terror. Now watch us drive.
Thank you for that.
You remember that one? That was a legendary one, man. Back before, you know, YouTube and, you know, the internet had really become what it is today. George W. provided us with an all-timer there.
I appreciate you taking us back in that moment in history.
But yes, but, obviously, veterans who helped keep us safe and protect our freedoms and liberties.
Amen.
Unending gratitude. No question about that. All right. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. It's a banger, certified banger of a night in college basketball. We'll start with the biggest game of them all, Memphis on the road at Ole Miss. I was going back, and I was trying to find instances, and honestly, I wanted to filter out Penny's first year, right? Because, like, that's his first year in 2018-19, where it was before, you know, the age of the transfer portal. So he's kind of just forced to take what he's got, right, in terms of players. And it was mostly Tubby holdovers. So you get past 2018-19, instances of Penny being a double-digit underdog, like, there really aren't any. I mean, there's, like, again, the one I can remember off the top of my head was – at Houston in 22-23. And, of course, or maybe it was 21-22. But Memphis went down there and got the outright win. Texas A&M in 2023, they went to Texas A&M and won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Only 7.5-point underdog, okay. Right? So there is, you know, again, you're
Clemson getting, last year wasn't double digits.
No, it was like 5.5, yeah. UConn was flirting with it, but it got bet down. I think by the time it closed, it was like 8, maybe 7.5.
Who was even favored in the next game, Michigan State?
Memphis was actually a slight favorite.
Because they were so young.
It was a pick.
Michigan State was right.
Yeah, it was a pick.
I know it didn't apply here, but I was wondering about Maui.
And
then Auburn would have been what in the championship game?
Oh, you know what? That probably was close
to
double digits.
You have to look at that one.
Yeah.
I'm imagining if anything's going to be close, it'd be that.
Yeah.
With the way they were.
And they ended up losing that game by 14.
They got handled.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's a good call. I'll try to find it.
But, I mean, it's a neutral, so.
Right. 8.5.
Yeah.
So they were not even double-digit underdogs in that game. Now, again, they did not cover, but the point is that it's very, very rare. Since Penny got the job and really got his team going, that he has been a double-digit underdog. Yeah. So, you know, some rarefied air in some ways for the Tigers tonight. And again, it's a spot where I expect them to lose just because of the narratives, just because of the way that this kind of has shaken out. You beat Ole Miss badly last year here in Memphis. Mm-hmm. Now you got to go back. I mean, this is just kind of the cadence of college basketball. It would be very, very impressive if Memphis is able to go down there and beat Ole Miss for a second straight time. And I believe you pointed this out.
Four straight down there.
Four straight. Going back to, is that multiple coaches? I assume it is, right?
Yeah. I think it goes back. I think it goes to Tubby.
Yeah, I know Penny lost 2 years ago down there.
Uh-huh.
Kind of controversially, like late. I think Javon Quinterly like missed a layup or something. Mm-hmm. Or I don't remember exactly the circumstances. I was at a Christmas program, you know, for my kid back then, and there was no internet. It was devastating. but I do remember that one being a tight finish. Obviously, last year it was not tight at all inside FedEx Forum. But listen, I mean, I don't think there's that much separation between Memphis and Ole Miss would be my argument for taking the 10 here. I mean, I think at Torvik, he's got Ole Miss as a top 50 team, and Memphis is a top 65 team.
KenPom seems to be much higher.
Yeah.
On Ole Miss, which he's got him at 26.
Right, and that's, you know.
So, there's a big difference there between that and 55 Memphis that he's got it, so. Considerable difference, at least according to KenPom.
Yes, but even then, I think he's only got it as an 8-point loss, right?
8-point loss, not 10.5.
Yeah,
10.5, 10.
No. People clearly are betting Ole Miss because they think they can pour it on here. Again, I have not watched Ole Miss play this year. They've only played Southeastern Louisiana at home. They won by 30. Louisiana Monroe at home, they won by 19. So it's just kind of hard to, you know, if Ole Miss is closer to KenPom's projection of being a top 20-ish team, then they should probably win this game by double digits. If they're not, though, if they're closer to the Torvik projection, I think Memphis can definitely hang with them. I think Memphis can absolutely go down there and make this a game. And, you know, again, it's like it's so new in this season where I don't even necessarily know right now for Memphis what's the path, right? How does Memphis win? Like, I don't really know that yet. We'll have to, like.
Well, I mean, the idea, they're not going to do it in the same way. But that between Doug and Sincere, that you have a backcourt that can carry you in the way that Tyrese and PJ did.
Right.
That's something that I think we probably feel pretty solid about right now. That's what it's going to have to be. I don't think you're going to get that Quante Berry every game. It'd be nice to assume that you're going to get him. He feels right now like maybe a Jaquan Walton where it's on or off. I'd love to see Berry be more consistent than Jaquan Walton. I'd love to see him be more of a third piece than sort of a role guy who's maybe on, off, kind of like we saw with Walton. And a lot of times, too, Walton's whole game was too dictated by whether or not shots were dropping. Hopefully, Berry can be more than that. I'm trying to see the core. I know about the front court. You got a whole bunch of wings. You've still got, what is it, Abdul Akeem?
Yep.
I'm finally starting to get his name right, even though we don't know yet how he fits in here. And so I'm just trying to figure out, okay, who's in this core? And that's what I was doing watching San Francisco. Okay, Thedford's in because of the way he rebounds. This guy, you know, whether he's coming off the bench or whatever else is going to bring the energy. You know about the backcourt. I'm just trying to find the pieces. It's unfortunate you got to do that on the fly, right? Well, when you got 15 new ones, it's part of the deal. But on the fly against a team like this, an Ole Miss, in a spot in Oxford where you typically, you know, historically have had issues.
Yes.
It's unfortunate you're trying to figure out who those core guys are. But the other part about it is you get the answers. You know, you'll find out who's ready to play. And maybe there is a way with, you know, that you can push this Ole Miss team around, although I'd have my doubts because surely Chris Beard's been focused on that, that, you know, in the way that you did last year. You certainly have to try. Problem is, it's a whole new cast, you know. Can your guys keep pushing without fouling out? You know, can Bradshaw do that and stay on the floor? He's not built to be that kind of guy.
Right.
Don't we say Bradshaw's sort of the finesse big that struggled with those kinds of, you know. So I'm not sure you're equipped in the way that you have been. Remember, you had Dane last year.
Yep.
Ingram's out of shape still. Can barely be out there. So, you know, just curious to find out who's really part of this rotation. Who can you depend on in this core? Because you figure, like you said, you're taking the loss. Well, what can we learn out of this in terms of guys that are going to be able to step up and help us with the rest of this non-con that's so important?
Exactly. I mean, again, this is one of, you know, a few on the schedule that I've kind of said, all right, you know, you circle it, you probably chalk this one up. Again, if you go down there and do it, that's great. But it's more like, all right, you know, UNLV, obviously at home, you got to get Baylor at home, you got to get
You cannot lose that UNLV game here. You talk about folks being down.
Yeah.
You know, and well, just keeping engagement of folks up in the program, you have to beat Josh coming here.
Yeah, like if you like, let's see,
lost to Martin.
So if you just won all the home games, right? So that'd be San Francisco, UNLV, Southern Illinois, New Orleans, Baylor, Vandy, and Alabama State. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 6, 7. 6, 7.
Don't get caught up in that. The kids are. Don't do that.
I'm so sorry. But that would be 7 wins. And then you really just have to win, like, you know, one on the, like, you know, if you lose to Purdue, I would assume, on a neutral, but you win the consolation game. That puts you at 8-5. And I think that's the mark. I mean, 7-6 is, you know, doable. You can work with that. But if you're 8-5, you know, you'd feel pretty good.
I'd take that all day long.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
With this new roster,
exactly.
Against this good.
I mean, and again, UNLV, I mean, most, it's not going to be easy because Vandy looks, I mean, Vandy's top 15 in the country at KenPom. Baylor's top 20 at KenPom. Those are great games that you're getting in Memphis in terms of, you know, opponent. Way better maybe than we bargained for in some ways. So if you can finish 8-5 with this schedule, like you said, I mean, that's, is it 5 seed? No. But is it like 6?
Maybe out of that 8-9.
Yeah.
The Penny's been in for most of his.
And then you do what you're
career.
Supposed to do in conference. You know?
Well, you have to.
You also have that Utah State game. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's first 12 and then Utah State is the 13th.
Yeah, and that's gonna be a tough game. That's actually a brutal game because you play North Texas 2 nights before on Thursday. It's your third game in 6 days. Then you gotta go out there all the way to Utah State. Who's going to be just? That's going to be an environment that they haven't seen since Louisville on December the 13th. So you're talking about 2 months without an environment close to that one. That's going to be a really tough game for Memphis. But you know they do typically and have done well against teams like Utah State where they can out athlete. So you know, I can't say that it's a guaranteed loss. I just think it's a tough spot in the schedule. But that's why they scheduled it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, challenge yourself, give yourself, I mean, it's a top 40 opportunity. It's a quad one opportunity in February. Unfortunately, the way this league works, you don't get those chances. You just don't get those. I mean, I don't think they have any quad one opportunities this year, right? In conference.
Only one of those road games, maybe against your South Florida team that Torvik's high on, but
it's top 75 on the road, right?
Uh-huh.
No quad ones. They're 99.
Wow.
North Texas, 83. That's embarrassing. It is so embarrassing that Memphis is the only opportunity that anybody can get a quad one win coming to Memphis, right? Coming to Memphis is the only chance that anybody in this league gets at a quad one win.
It's a football conference, John.
Clearly. I mean, we're not even trying anymore in the American. So at least I think one team last year was a quad one opportunity. Maybe North Texas there would have been, I think. Last season, but Memphis didn't go. They only played North Texas once, and it was here, and it was a very close game. But anyway, it's a big game tonight for the University of Memphis. Around college basketball tonight, because I mentioned it's a banger of a night, Kentucky-Louisville. May I interest you in that? Commonwealth?
Yeah.
It is the number one team at KenPom versus the number 12 team at KenPom. And Louisville is a 6-point favorite, believe it or not.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's probably to a lot of people who pay attention to the sport, like, whoa, you know, how are they 6-point favorites? Although home court, I think, matters immensely. Texas Tech, Illinois, that's the number 3 team in at KenPom versus the number 14 team at KenPom. Illinois has gone basically all European. That's their strategy this year. They've just done nothing but recruit overseas players, with a couple of Americans mixed in. That'll be a good one. Texas Tech, obviously, you know, probably the biggest budget, you know, in NIL in the country. So, yeah, it's a great, and there's some other, like, sort of, you know, supplementary games around the country that are, but you got 2 top 25 matchups. So, and then Memphis Ole Miss. So it'll be a busy night of college basketball action tonight. Memphis and Ole Miss on the SEC Network.
Grizzlies in action tonight. Pregame should start right here on 92.9 FM at ESPN at 6 o'clock tonight. A little early start because you're on the East Coast. You got the Knicks, which is a 6:30 p.m. tip. Eric Hasseltine will be on the call. We've talked about it. John said it. Your big underdogs on the NBA hardwood as well tonight. The Memphis team, at least 9.5-point underdogs to this Knicks team that is, last I looked, only person on the injury report for the Knicks as of tonight is Mitchell Robinson, who's listed as questionable with ankle injury management. So, you know, Mitchell Robinson, the center, has been in and out of the lineup. You know, this, frankly, going back to last year. Knicks still formidable even without him, but he does. When he's out there, it helps free up Karl-Anthony Towns to, you know, do things away from the basket in a way that makes the Knicks a little bit more potent. There's no question about it. I think Carl's better when Mitchell's out there. That said, you know, for the Grizzlies, for us, it's what we talked about with Jess. I'll be honest with you. The thing I'm watching right now most is Grizz PR. You know, looking for when Zach Edey is going to move up that list. And right now he's still listed as one of five that are out. Fifth one there being Javon Small. Obviously the two-way guy got a sore toe. The other four are the same. You know, it's the two, though. It's Zach Edey, which feels like his return is imminent. As Jess said, he's on the trip. Didn't have to go. They're coming back before they head to that last one, I think she said, to San Antonio. So hopefully it means a lot. We've seen him practicing. We've seen him out there in shoot-arounds. So it feels close, but not tonight, obviously, with him still listed out. I'm still looking for that doubtful, that questionable, just some signs that it's getting back close, because you feel like Ja really needs it. You know, maybe he doesn't outwardly say it, and they've talked about it as a team, how great it'll be to have Zach Edey back, but it just feels like for his game right now, which seems so, I'll be honest with you, jump shot centric.
Yep.
You know, he's less effective. He's maybe in terms of his approach right now, it's tough to watch with the way he's shooting the ball. Really struggling from 3-point range. What is it? 14-15%.
Yep.
And at times you can just tell. I mean, this isn't the Ja Morant we know, but it's more importantly not a Ja Morant who right now is fitting in the Isolo offense.
Yep.
You need Zach Edey.
Yep.
That's why Jess is right, and I said it with Brad. As much as tough as it's been at times to watch Isolo sort of pull guys and go away from feel and go more to sub patterns, we are not going to be able to fully gauge the job he's doing. This is just being fair and the right way to be, right? Can't gauge the job he's doing until he's at least got Zach Edey in there. And then the other part, Ty Jerome, because right now you cannot make shots. You know, Cam Spencer stood out early on the season, because he's one of the few guys out there that's made shots from outside. And so Ty, yes, having Ja, you know, being able to get Ja off the ball at times, sure, that's going to help Ty can play on the ball. But I'm looking most forward to his shooting. Ja's talked about they can't make shots, so everybody can fold down defensively on Jaren. There's no space. Edey can help create space for Ja, and Ty can help create space for everyone with his shooting. And so it's those two in particular that feel close. Feels like the Ty Jerome reevaluation news that we got was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that was for 4 weeks. So, we have to be getting close. I'm certainly not talking about it on this road trip for Ty, but those two and Edey coming back hopefully on this road trip, we'll get more of an idea of what this is supposed to look like. That's been the issue. In the meantime, Cedric Cowher, brother, just continue to go out there and be a dog. You know, he looks like, man, he is just enjoying being in the league and going out there on any given night, knowing that he's probably going to get one of the best offensive players on the other team. And you'd love to see the effort. Again, I wish we were seeing a similar level of effort from the two veterans.
Yeah.
I know they're frustrated that things aren't going their way, particularly offensively right now. But you have, for the sake of the rest of the team, you've got to give a level of effort that's worthy of the leader status that those guys have been given, whether it's in terms of their contracts or just, hey, you all are the two pillars. We're building this around you. You know, don't let Sid outplay you out here. Don't let a rookie do it just because you're frustrated that you don't have all your pieces. Reinforcements on the way. Certainly not all of them, but a couple of that we think can be effective. And you got this one before, you know, heading over to Boston. So, listen, Ja's out there. Just want to see him get as comfortable as possible until Edey can get back.
Yeah, you know, like you said, the Knicks are awesome at home.
Won four in a row, didn't mention, by the way.
Yep. Yeah, and I believe all by double digits. They've covered the number in 17 of their last 24 at home.
I know they're going to the East Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I think they might be going to the finals this year.
With that being said, you know, the NBA is weird. Ja is one of those guys where he's like a big game player, you know.
First half OKC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're giving the champs all the business. It's, you know, NBA's weird like that.
Yep.
But you get up.
Yep.
And the Mecca is a place that you get up
it is.
For because of where you are.
100%. So it would not surprise me if this game, you know, comes down to the wire.
Sure.
I mean, and
Memphis covered and all that.
Yeah. But I just, you know, it's hard when the Grizz have looked good for the entirety of a game one time in the last 2 to 3 weeks, right? And that was against the Mavericks, who were a disaster. And I just think, like, it starts to, you know, compound a little bit when you have, you know, you're in the midst of a bad stretch, and then you're up double digits at home against the Thunder, and then it happens again, and you give back the lead, and you lose by 14. Like, I think this stuff kind of compounds, and I'm like, I'm wondering, do they have that strong locker room that can, you know, obviously we feel like they don't have it with the staff right now. You know, that's very much touch and go in terms of trust. And, you know, Ja just, you know, he doesn't seem like he's in the best of spirits. You know, every time I listen to him in the post game, he just seems, I don't know if it's combative. I wouldn't say combative, but he just doesn't seem, he's very impatient, you know?
Yeah, he kind of turned the page from just where he was ready to go off.
Yes, yes.
Was able to laugh a little bit. We were talking about it, but it's not, there's no joy in there. Like, you get a couple, but... It's not the same.
Yeah, like he's coming back. Like he's like
to ask him to be the same at this point until he gets his pieces at least right.
Probably, right, right.
Probably a stretch to even ask for.
So I would love it if they go in there and pull it off. Obviously, that'd be fantastic for the team and I think the psyche of the team. But this is a stretch where, you know, you come out of this 4-11, you know, 7 games under .500. I guess you can tell yourself that help is on the way. But golly. You're going to be in a massive hole.
He is 3 of his last 28 from three.
That's really bad.
And it's 14.8% for the year. But 3 of 28? 3 of 28.
I feel like
you can't be a superstar in this league. Your team can't win shooting like that from the outside. And it's funny, like it was a phrase he used. I'm certainly not accusing Ja of doing. But same man on Friday, I laughed at him. They call them protest threes. Some of these don't even look like he thinks they're going to go in. It's just sort of chunk. Forget the offense on this trip. Chunking this one up. Like he called them protest threes. 3 of 28.
Yeah, Zach Edey could go 3 of 28.
100%, he could do better than 3 of 28.
Yeah.
Zach Edey could. And that's handcuffing you.
It is.
We're talking about no spaces. Ja missing a lot of these shots. Again, we are asking a lot of Edey. Come back and fix all this shooting space, all this stuff. Now, in some cases, dude, some approaches need to change. Like I said, there needs to be more of an aggressiveness. Now, maybe you don't feel like it's a time to be urgent because so much is in the air. There are so many question marks about this team, but that is how you lead. That is how you know, that's what a professional leader of a franchise does, even when times are rough like this. And frankly, the rest of the team needs to see it happen. If you want to be here and this, you're the face of it, the rest of the team needs it.
Yeah, and I just like wonder, you know, cause we don't really know. We don't really know with the Grizz, and because like the management doesn't speak all that much. But it's like, how committed do they plan to be to Isolo? Like I know they you know they identified him 2 years ago, brought him in, but you know he did have what a month and a half last year. With the team?
Well, just 9 games in playoffs. It still wasn't much that you could say graded.
Okay, it wasn't that long.
I mean, to me, it's not much different than Ryan in the one game with Penn State. Might say different because you saw a little more, but you just I can't put that on him in terms of a judgment. You know, he's an unproven coach. This is his first year, is the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, like I just feel like in life, we have to be willing to admit mistakes. Just like just walking down the street, like I, you know, if we make mistakes, we need to be accountable for making those mistakes, whatever they may be. Right? I mean, some mistakes are very low stakes, and some mistakes are very high stakes. And I'm not ready to necessarily say that Isolo was a mistake.
Can't. That's what we're telling you. You got to wait on Edey. You got to wait on Ty Jerome.
I lean more toward the marriage being a mistake. Of John Morant and Tuomas Isolo and honestly Jaren, right? Like Jaren is not, you're not getting nearly the best out of him that you are. And I don't know, like when Jaren was playing well last year, Ja's numbers were down and his usage was down. So
maybe you're just trying to plug all these leaks and you can't get everything going at the same time.
Oh, it's absolutely fair to be concerned about all the things you're laying out.
I don't know what the Grizzlies' political will is in that, you know, are they going to be stubborn about this? Or are they going to dig in and say that we believe in this coach, we identified him, and he's going to be, you know, that would be pretty rare in the NBA that you would see a coach be, you know, that locked in. But, I mean, I don't know.
I would just put it to you this way. If Zach Klima decided to pick coach in this instance over superstar, if you decide to pick Isolo over Ja, move Ja out of here, maybe down the road moving Ja on is going to be the best thing. But back to the point, and Isolo fails, they're going to come back and look at it as, well, you had Ja and you wasted it because you pitted Taylor against that, right? You wasted that season. You had two different philosophies. Then you come back with Isolo, which never could speak his language. I just don't see how Zach Klima ever gets the charge again of picking the head coach. That's something that will stick with you in terms of as a general manager, especially when you had a team that for 2 years was the two seed. If you, and this is what Zach did a good job. You had him good. It was about getting the team to the next level. He thought he had to make a coaching switch. Here's the thing. He's going to unproven European coach to do it.
Yep.
And so if he picks him and Isolo, you know, he decides to pick Isolo over Ja, and you get back all whatever those pieces are going to be. We don't think it's going to be some big haul, but Isolo goes on to not be the guy. Bro, over for Zach Klima.
Yep.
Who's going to give him another job in the front office as the head guy anytime soon? He'd have to work his way back up because this would be held against him. Brother, you had it all. In fact, you had it looking pretty good, and you squandered it. That would be the book on Zach Klima.
Yep.
So that's why you don't see it in the league. You don't see guys pick coach,
right,
especially unproven ones, over superstar, even if the superstar's got flaws.
Right.
So if we ever get to that point, it's going to be real interesting to see because that, as I said, I think it was last week, that is the road less traveled in the NBA for these GMs
picking
the coach, and especially one John as unproven as Isolo is. Well, just at the NBA level, he is clearly proven overseas.
Right. Well, I mean, but this isn't overseas.
No.
You know, this is the NBA.
Right. This ain't Slam Magazine either. Where you get to read about him and all that stuff, and a credit to Isolo for the opportunity he presented for himself, what he's done, created for himself, all the, you know, everything that went into the, you know, making him the coach that he is. That's one thing. Drew said it last week with there's coaching basketball players and basketball, and then there's coaching people.
Yes.
And part of NBA is coaching people, unfortunately.
That's exactly
so
right.
So if you can't speak Ja's language as a person, you can speak some sub-patterns and patterns and talk to him, but we know Ja's got to be spoken to as a person too.
Yep.
Because this is a guy that wears it on his sleeve.
That's exactly right.
And so if Isolo can't do that, brother, and Kleiman's going to pick him instead of Ja? Oh, bro, you can forget about it.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't happen in the league most of the time.
David Fizdale went 43-39 his first year in 2016-17, made the playoffs. I don't remember. I'm assuming he had a bunch of injuries that he was dealing with. And then he was fired 19 games into his second year because Marc Gasol and he had gotten sideways, right? And they picked Marc Gasol, which anybody probably would have done. But, I mean, you know, that was the Grizzlies saying, like, this is David Fizdale, good coach, bad coach, whatever. He and Arshawn are on the same page.
More recently, Giannis wins with Budenholzer.
Right.
Gets done with Budenholzer. They move on from Budenholzer, not Giannis.
Yes, and it was God, what was his name? I can't remember the coach. But they fired him like 15 games into a season.
Was that Adrian Griffin?
Yes, Adrian Griffin. Yes, he picked him. He picked Adrian Griffin, and the team stunk. And they fired him like they didn't even give him a whole year.
You don't fire a coach. In that case, championship coach.
Stick
with player.
Right.
So you'd be going against the NBA grain.
Yeah.
If you're picking Isolo.
Right.
And I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If he went on to not be able to speak the language of NBA players and not be, I mean, just imagine what it would say about you in Wikipedia and everywhere else in terms of your time as a GM. He had it. They would say, man, he had a chance to really take that Grizz that we thought for a minute there they were about to take off. And he would be the GM. That squandered that.
Yeah.
It'd be hard road back up.
Like, just watching this Grizzlies team, though, it's like, going back to, like, there's never been a point where you're like, oh, I see this. I can see the vision with, like, it's just always been bad.
But what I'm saying is, and I'm saying that because that's a stark reality, I think, right now, where you are and how much pressure there is on climbing. There's a way out of this quickly. There's a way out of it quickly, potentially. with this draft that's coming up.
Right.
And these picks. I'm telling you, bad basketball could still end up being a good thing. And all of a sudden, you got two picks, and whether you're using them to move up, whether you're using the picks or whatever, Cedric Coward's a piece. Cedric Coward looks like a piece. And so whether you're using the picks to shake the roster up, you're using them itself, there's a way to get some pieces really fast. You've got some flexibility. Listen, your pick might be more valuable now, but that Phoenix pick gonna still be valuable. I'm just saying there's a way, roster-wise, there's a flexibility you have now, having traded Bane, to maybe get to something. Something where you don't not necessarily look at it and you say, well, I can't even see the vision 3-4 years from now. So that may be the way they have to go. And frankly, it might be the way they're already planning to go. If you catch my drift on some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Those picks can get, John, this is a very interesting draft. You mess around getting that top three. All of a sudden, you got what the Athletic is saying is a game changer. All of them would have gone, I think he's, you know, behind Cooper, but I think the way they wrote it was all of them considered last year. They're all considered Dimanster, your guy. What's my guy at Kansas?
Peterson, yep.
And then Cam Boozer.
Yep.
As impactful along the lines of a Cooper Flag way.
You get a top three pick.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. And you're going to have two shots perhaps. So I'm just saying there could be a quick way out here. And frankly, it might be the door that Zach Kleiman's seeing and saying, I got the most hope for if you catch my drift.
Right. Right.
Because you ain't getting something for Ja.
Right. No, you're not.
Trading him right now. It's the worst time possible that you could try to trade Ja.
Yeah.
And I don't know that moving off Jaren right now.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a max big. It kicks in next year, $49 million. Somebody going to take max big, making $49 million, doesn't give you but six rebounds? Or maybe so. Maybe defensively they finally, it's the final piece, but that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
They're going to be, you know, paying a lot of money on that roster. So
yeah.
I just think maybe through the draft, through trade, there's a quick way out of this. I'm holding out hope for that.
Yep.
And really, frankly, I mean, I think that might end up being your best course of action.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's very possible. And, and a big part of that could be like, you know, you just.
Is Ja bought into that, though? When he needs, it's year seven, bro.
Yeah.
He needs to sell shoes. He needs to be on a winner now. Is he going to be on that sort of, it's a rebuild, but like maybe a quick rebuild. Can you get him to buy into that?
Right.
If you're Zach Kleiman, you're basically, I would imagine, begging him to buy into it.
Yeah.
Trying to convince him at least.
Lots of different agendas, lots of different. You know, boats you're trying to keep afloat, and you're also trying to do this while, you know, you have a very direct, FIBA and European basketball is just, it's just a different sport. Like, it's a different personality. Everything about it is different, man. You know, NBA players have an expectation of, they have carte blanche, they have the power, they have the say. And I think my guess is Isolo just doesn't see hit the world through that lens. He sees, you know, this is about basketball equality. This is about, you know, purity, and we're going to do things a certain type of way. And
well, and I just wonder if his way fits your two pillars, because again, we know with Edie, sure, your system features a guard like Ja getting space. Your system has never featured the unicorn type of player. I'll still say the word just because Jaren's a 7-foot guard. It doesn't feature those guys.
Right.
His numbers, as Jeff said, numbers-wise, true shooting, Isolo's point to it, they're high. He can't figure out how to use them and have the usage rate up
right.
because that position isn't a featured one, isn't a number two spot in
right.
his offense.
Right.
So does it fit? Does his system, if it's Ja, does it fit both of those guys? That's who you paid.
Right.
It's got to fit them both.
Right.
I'm not sure that it does. So that there's this Ja thing going on, but also right there should be 1B. Is Jaren and Isolo.
Yeah.
And finding out how to get best Jaren, engage Jaren, because when he's not offensively, you're losing him defensively. You're not getting same effort level. And so, but his system has never featured a guy like him. His system doesn't feature guys like him. They are screen setters. So I'm concerned about that. If he's the perfect coach because of this new offense and it's great for Ja, okay, that worked. But your number two is Jaren.
Right,
it's got to work for him too. For these big, so he's got to adjust to that. So he says he's a what do you call it, pragmatist? You change it up, you adjust. Well, let's see it because Jaren right now looks just as off just in terms of fit, even though those the true shooting's up because he's efficient. He looks just as out of place.
Yep, absolutely. Interesting times in Grizzland. There's no doubt about that. We'll come back. Dane Bradshaw will join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Memphis and Ole Miss, go around the country a little bit in college basketball. I know it's November,
But you guys need to get familiar.
No, we need to learn and be educated.
All right? Yeah. And get in
it's
gear.
Time to turn the page.
That's right. Get in gear. Dame Bradshaw on the other side. J&J, 90.5 ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90.5 ESPN. And as promised, he is Dane Bradshaw, White Station Spartan. And we forgive him for this next part, Tennessee Volunteer. We've all made mistakes. We've all been led astray at one point in our lives or another. He's going to be on the call tonight for University of Memphis basketball, going down to Oxford and taking on a red hot Ole Miss team, and he joins us now. Dane, what's happening, man? Good to catch up.
Yeah, it's basketball season once again. Feels like it was just not too long ago I was talking with you guys, man. So pumped to be back on with you, and congrats on the continued success of your show.
Well, we're still here, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's the success, just that we're on.
Exactly right.
Appreciate it, Dane.
And you know what? I appreciate that because, you know, we've outlasted some shows. There's no doubt about that.
I will say the technical difficulties leading to this kind of felt like a program with a bunch of transfers still trying to get a, you know,
no
feel
chemistry.
For each other, the chemistry.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
So, no, you're remember next time you guys criticize Penny with this whole new roster that you guys weren't so smooth yourself with your new setup.
No, you're exactly right. And as you know, in Memphis, we do not criticize Penny no matter what. he will escape that. All right, this is an interesting matchup. Obviously, last year, Dane, Ole Miss came in here you know, Memphis blitzed them. It was after they had lost to Mississippi State at home, so it came at a pretty desperate time for Memphis. They won 87-71, and now they're returning the game. They're going back down to Oxford, and Ole Miss is a 10-point favorite in this game, which is kind of rare to see, honestly. What's your breakdown? What's your breakdown of this game, and sort of how do you see it going?
Yeah, look, I credit Penny for continuing to always schedule tough in the non-conference. You guys know as well as anybody, you have to, because you know what the numbers are likely going to do to you when you hit conference play in the American. The committee rewarded them last year with that 5 seed and said, hey, look, Memphis did their part. They did everything they could do. I am pessimistic that they'll have as many highlight non-conference wins when you think about the Clemson, the Ole Miss. I mean, just simply because new roster, we don't know about their star power yet. And oftentimes Memphis had the best player on the court and the second best player on the court. And they could trade, you know, sometimes A and B with Danger and Haggerty. So I think what's going to be huge is can Doug McDaniel really control the tempo and still be the jet that he is, a little bit of a flashy guard, but be smart with the ball. There were some careless turnovers in that last game, and Ole Miss thrives on that. They're not extremely flashy, and then you look up, and they have only turned the ball over 9 times a game, and then they force 15 or so, and then that ends up being the difference. So they're a very disciplined team, is Ole Miss, and they've got a really interesting guard. This kid from France, he's a senior. He's been playing 4 or 5 years of French club ball, Elias Camerdine. He kind of looks like Halliburton, has that kind of feel to his game. But he hadn't had high-tempo, high-pressure defense the way Memphis can do, and he's a taller guard. So you got 6'5 guard versus 5'11". So I'm interested to see who can really dictate the tempo and who can get flustered by one another. I think that's a big matchup to watch, is most effective point guard play.
You know, Dane, I think John said it too. Coming off that Mississippi State game, Memphis felt like it had got punked, and you felt it here against Ole Miss in terms of the way they went out in that game. It had to be sort of a different response, and we saw it. This is you've touched on it. This is a completely different Memphis team. There are some guys, Malik Diaz, one of them, that, you know, from that game last year, that would probably remember how Memphis sort of hit first. I just wonder, you know, from the Ole Miss standpoint, and Chris Beard talking about that, right? And maybe, hey, us doing it to Memphis this time around. You figure Malik Diaz and those guys have talked about that, and that Ole Miss will try to be the more physical team from the outset tonight?
Yeah, 100%. And Malik Diaz is a super talented senior. Started his career at Vanderbilt, went to Belmont, then back at Ole Miss. Rarely do you see a guy transfer down and then transfer back up for that second chance and have the success that he's had. And he's preseason all SEC second team. But the one knock on him, and I think the challenge that Coach Beard continues to have for him, is, hey, you got to get your rebounding rate up.
Right.
You only had 4 boards last game. He's shown the potential. He had 19 last year on the road at Alabama, so he can be the most dominant player on the court. But I think on the other side, Penny's going to say, hey, we got to punk this guy. We got to punk him. And if we can disrupt him, get Coach Beard frustrated and say, hey, you're not getting enough boards. And, you know, look, the way Sincere Parker crashes the glass, I mean, Thedford, what, 9 boards in 15 minutes
Dog.
Last game?
Yep.
I mean, that's the stuff that you got to have. If you're going to pick up, of course, taking care of the basketball against Ole Miss on the road, and they're an okay size team as Ole Miss, but I don't think it's one where Memphis is going to feel overwhelmed by their size. When you think about Aaron Bradshaw and Silla, and it's kind of a by committee. We used to say this all the time. This is, you know, I'm dating myself now, 20 years, but like Malik Diaz, that's their, you know, 5-man. We would say, hey, it's our 5 men against their 5 man. Mm-hmm. And can collectively Bradshaw, Silla, and others all kind of wear him down throughout the course of the game?
Ole Miss is shooting 40% from 3 in 2 games. Granted, these have been, you know, lower-level opponents. But I'm just curious how real you think it is from Ole Miss. I mean, is this going to be part of their identity? I mean, are they going to shoot 40% from 3 all year? Obviously, it's going to be tough to do that, but – I mean, do you think it's a real development that they have this shooting?
Yeah, I think they're one of the more underrated three-point shooting threats in the SEC when you look at last year, and obviously only a couple showings this year. But they had a program record 300 made threes last year. And when I think back to Ole Miss last year, I don't think, wow, man, they could really shoot the ball. But they're just kind of quietly take the open looks. They get to their spots. They shoot with confidence, and it's not just relying on one guy, and they're shooting that well. And the sharpshooter from Kentucky, Travis Perry, he's 0-for-9, I believe, to start the year. So if he can get it going, they'll be even more of a threat. But we have seen Beard mention, hey, we got to get to the free throw line. So I would look at Ole Miss early if they take a bunch of threes early, I'd be surprised. I think they're going to make a commitment to shot fake, get to the rim, try to get to the free throw line, get some foul trouble and attrition on the Memphis roster, and then maybe as the game goes on, start looking for that three-point shot a little bit more.
They didn't educate me. You know, it's blasphemy around here to talk about Rick Barnes, especially to give him praise, but frankly what it is respect for what he's done, you know, at Tennessee, for what he's continued to do at a time and a you know, in college athletics where a lot of his peers are saying, you know what, this has changed too much, this ain't for me. You know, he's adapted. I know some people hold that he hasn't, you know, gotten over the hump against him, but I just look at the powerhouse that he's built built Tennessee into, and I say, wow, look at the consistency. If there's something, and Dane, I don't mean this as disrespect to Penny at all. I mean, here's a guy, if you want consistency, Rick Barnes, that's what he is. Is there something to be pulled from the way that Rick is doing it in terms of roster building, whatever it is? I mean, all of his teams are tough defensively. We can get into that, but I don't want to waste your time. Just in terms of roster construction, is it keeping a core and then plugging holes? You see Memphis with this new 15, and John and I have said it, this is a hard way to go. What can be sort of pulled from Rick's success in terms of trying to emulate it?
Yeah, and the analytics will show as well, hey, the most successful teams that have the deepest runs, they supplement with transfers, but then, to use your word, they've got those core guys, and they've, like, it's one thing to talk about, yeah, we've built a culture. Well, you build a culture, but all those culture guys are gone. And I think Tennessee has continued to have, I can't say it up. I mean, look, if you guys have ever coached Little League or even me coaching junior high ball, it is so nice when you roll in there with eighth graders that played for you last year and you can start a drill and everybody knows what they're doing. Like, just the efficiency and the time and what you get out of a practice and how much further ahead you can be on your practice schedule and being ready for the games. I mean, we heard Penny talk about, hey, we hadn't put many offensive sets in right now. I'm trying to get them to play together and play off one another. I mean, how much easier is that to do when you have at least three or four returning guys?
Right.
And so I do think Barnes, and look, they've got great NIL commitment at Tennessee. I think that's helped take, if anything, do guys like that probably shake their head if I can't believe the state of college basketball. But I think they'd be lying if they didn't say, you know, it's kind of convenient. We don't have to recruit that much. I talked to an SEC coach that said, look, man, I used to be on the phone. I'd be at the beach all the time with my family trying to balance family work life, and I'm just recruiting left and right, this and that. And now it's like, all right, what's the kid? How much does he want? Can we get him to campus? All right, great. Yes, no. It's like a live auction, and it's just much quicker.
It is.
If you've got the money, there's some conveniences to it to where, you know, you're not getting, you know, bought out under the table by somebody last minute. And so it's all about player evaluation. He'll tell you that. He goes, I mean, there's a recruiting component. There's got to be a fit there. But a lot of it is, look, you're buying players. You got to be able to evaluate the right talent and get the return on your investment.
Yeah, to your point about the portal, my four-year-old's first basketball practice was last night. And the coach tells her in the shooting drill, hey, we're not doing any granny shots. Make sure you shoot the ball normally, right, with the push.
Yeah.
And she gets up and she steps up to the line and she does a granny shot. You know, so you know, these kids
can't coach them to that.
You know, to your point about not
doing
what
you're
doing.
But, you know, that starts at home. When you have no discipline in the household, it translates on the court. You know?
You're right. You know, it was embarrassing. there's no doubt about that. One thing that's not embarrassing is this Alabama backcourt. I mean, they took it to St. John's, you know, in the Garden, and led by Aiden Holloway and LeBaron Filon. I mean, people are talking about this Alabama backcourt a year, by the way, after losing Mark Sears, as possibly the best backcourt in the country. Is that what you see when you watch Alabama?
I mean, that's got to be one of the most memorable wins for a guy that's from up north, not necessarily that area, but Nate Oates. I mean, to win in the Garden against Rick Pitino and put up the most points, I think, ever in a regulation game against Rick Pitino, I mean, that's just got to be one that's going to stay on the shelf in Nate Oates' locker or his office. But, yeah, I mean, I think Filon, I didn't have him on my first team All-SEC just because sometimes I think when you're that young, having that much hype into the next season, I think there's a little bit of a dip. But, man, he came out, and I think it really helps when there's not so much pressure on him. And Holloway, he was kind of just a spot-up shooter. Holloway's giving you everything you want off the bounce and finishes left, right, inside hand, off wrong foot, right hand, all that stuff, man. So their player development there, I think has been really strong. And so, they look the part, and he's another one that goes out there and absolutely schedules the best and isn't afraid of taking a few licks along the way. But they're certainly exciting to watch, man. It's been fun to watch college basketball, the points per game up, getting rid of the block, changing the block charge rule has helped. The continuation is going to help. And then the analytics that are telling these coaches, hey, you should get your best shot, and the best chance to score is typically early. I think it's got teams really motivated to try to find something quick, and it's been a joy to watch.
Memphis, Ole Miss tonight, SEC Network, Dane Bradshaw going to be on the call.
We'll be watching you, bud.
I caved. I'm a YouTube TV subscriber. I got the ESPN app just to watch you work.
You better,
man.
Have.
So bring it tonight, okay?
Yeah, but whose login did you use? That's what I want to know. you might download the app. Who's logging?
Do you have a login? I mean,
I got you, man.
I should have hit you up. Thanks, Dane. Yep. Appreciate
Thank you
always,
so
man.
Much, Dane.
All right. Thanks,
yep.
guys.
Yep. He is Dane Bradshaw, going to be on the call tonight, Ole Miss and Memphis. Appreciate him joining us on the show. We got a lot more to get to today on the show. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.